Welcome, everyone. We're about to begin Be'ez Hashem, Shalom Bayis, Shir number 517. Let's face it, no one likes to be criticized. We all love to hear praise, and we all find it difficult to hear criticism. It is not pleasant. We have our likes and our dislikes, and what is pleasant for one person may be unpleasant for another person. Often, there are going to be things that a husband may like and a wife may dislike, where a wife may like and a husband may dislike. And as much as a couple wishes to please each other, very often one has to tell the other what they dislike, and that could be viewed often as criticism, and one needs to learn how to handle it. Criticism can be constructive. Very often it is constructive. Maybe the way people use the word criticism, you could say, is always destructive, but a certain self-correction type of a mode of communication, of telling the other person what they need to correct done the right way, can be constructive and often is. Remember all the way in the beginning when Hashem created a woman, Ezer Kenegdai, a helper opposite him, You could touch Kenegdai as corresponding to him, aligned with him, but it's also opposite to him. It would be quite boring if they were exactly the same. You have some issues, by the way, that happen in marriage. If they try to conform to each other, that's not healthy either. He said that in one couple's group, one husband and wife claimed that they were exactly alike. They both liked the same things. They never disagreed. The group thought this was rather unrealistic, and they probed a bit. They checked out, and it turned out that they were forcing themselves to have the same unrealistic sameness and some same unrealistic habits, and they imposed it on themselves, trying to be similar in their tastes and in their opinions and in their habits in an artificial way. And that could create a strained relationship. Because why? Because each one is trying to be something he or she is not. That's a make-believe story. A make-believe similarity is not a comfortable relationship. There is shalom, where you learn to grow and respect each other, but not to the point where you lose your identity, where you're not you. You have to be you, your best version of you, but you need to be you, and your husband or wife needs to be themselves. This adjustment to the differences, that promotes growth, personal growth, which growth is uncomfortable. A wise grandmother would often say, there's nothing wrong with him, it's just growing pains. So there's a famous article, and it's talked about a lot in self-motivation speeches, but I'll say it anyway, about how lobsters grow. Lobsters are soft animals, but they live in a rigid shell. The shell does not expand. This is interesting where Hashem made it that way. A lobster is a soft animal, has soft skin, but has a very hard, rigid shell protecting it, and the shell does not expand. So how does it grow if it does not expand? And the answer is, as the lobster grows, the shell becomes confining and oppressive. So lobster retreats under to an underwater rock formation where it's protected from predatory fish, sheds the shell, and then produces a larger shell, a more spacious shell. And eventually this larger shell becomes uncomfortable and confining, and the lobster repeats this process several times until it reaches its maximum size, and then it stays the way it is. The point is, of this lesson, is that the stimulus that enables the lobsters to grow is discomfort. And if not for the discomfort, the lobster would never expand in its shell and would never grow. By the way, just as a yesod in life, one needs to know that we don't know why Hashem created lobsters. Okay, and we're not allowed to eat them. They're treif. To us, well, it looks disgusting often. And how, you know, whatever it is. But there's a purpose for lobsters. A deep purpose, even though they're a non-kosher type of thing. And one of the purposes is exactly this lesson. And Hashem made them grow this way exactly for this lesson, to teach us. When Mishlei says, learn from a cat, tznius, and learn from ants to be diligent. These are examples, but from all of animal life, including a lobster, you learn from him this yisoid. It's painful to grow, but this is how we actualize ourselves. And the fact that science and technology these days eliminated many sources of discomforts, that our predecessors, our forefathers experienced those difficulties and we don't experience them, right? We don't have to carry from trucks these large blocks of ice to keep meat cold. We have a refrigerator. But these days, when someone's uncomfortable, so there's an automatic pill to relieve it. We lost our tolerance for discomfort. But very often, our discomfort is a signal for us, you need to grow. If criticism makes one feel uncomfortable, so the key really is, instead of being resentful, take that opportunity to use it in order to grow. Now, sometimes a person is abusive, and you have a right to protect yourself from abuse. That's a separate issue. We're talking about just general conversations of criticism, and sometimes a person is not sensitive, so that is a problem. But where reaction to criticism is very important. Now, he says something interesting here, and again, he always goes back to the theme of self-esteem, but he says that people's reactions to what they see as criticism varies, and what's the determining factor? The quality of self-esteem. A person that has very low self-esteem is apt to see all criticism as an insult, as an affront to his dignity, and may act defensively or self-denigration. So Reb Twersky, again, I give him credit that he admits in his books a lot of his insecurities and that he suffered from self-esteem issues all the way into his 50s. And what's interesting is, of course, he said all this when he was older and established, so it's easier to talk about your failings once you're already past it and you've went through it, but it's still, I give him credit because many wouldn't do that either. So he said that he was giving several lectures that had 110 therapists by the lectures he was giving, and they were taking the course to earn credits, and they were required to submit an evaluation of the course. So a month later, Rabbi Twersky received a packet of 110 evaluations. 109 were not only very complimentary, were glowing with praise. There was one evaluation, though, that was very critical of his lectures. And Rabbi Twersky says, he puts it in italics, I was devastated. There was a lopsided score of 109-1, but that didn't mitigate his distress for being criticized. He was devastated. And then he writes in parentheses, interesting, he says, this was in the days before I emerged from my feelings of low self-esteem. Today I'm okay with 51% favorable evaluation. By the way, that parentheses comment is very telling. All of us need to work through that, like that. That over time we work on ourselves, that we become less sensitive to criticism. We only use it for the focal point of what to self-correct, and we throw everything else away. So Shlomo HaMelech in Mishlei talks about the value of healthy criticism. Don't admonish a leitz, maybe he'll hate you. Admonish a wise man, he will love you. Mishlei Perek Tes, Pasuk Ches. Listen to advice, accept reprimand, so you may grow wise in the end. Perek Yutes, Pasuk Chaf. The ear that hearkens to admonition may abide among the wise. Perek Tes Vav, Pasuk Lamed Aleph. And so on and so forth. A human being cannot achieve perfection, but you could strive for perfection. Experience is a hard teacher, but fools will learn no other way. That is wrong. Fools who do not learn from experience, that is a fool. A wise person learns from experience. Rezal Pliskin put it this way. If you raise your hands to the stars, you may not reach the stars, but your hands won't be sunk in the mud below. You try your best, and you learn from those experiences. Chaim Shmulevitz brings down in a beautiful beautiful way. In Micha, it says in Parak Zayin, Pasuk Ches, don't gloat over me, my foe. For although I have fallen, I have risen. Right? Don't gloat. Al tismach oivecha, ki I forgot, nafalti kamti. I have to look up the exact lashon of the Pasuk. But the Gemara says, had I not fallen, I would not have risen. Had I not fallen, I would have not risen. The fall is a stimulus for growth. The fall is a stimulus for progress. Very often we're offended by criticism. We have a knee-jerk reaction, whether it's defending ourselves or retaliating or sulking. Any of these reactions fails to take advantage of the good that is hidden in the criticism. People that pan streams of gold, they sift through tons of worthless earth just for that tiny amount of gold. So even if 99% of the criticism is not justified, it's wise to look for the 1% that may lead to our embetterment. Now, what's interesting here, he goes on a sideline talking about personal hygiene, taking care of your appearance and also your body in an important way. So he says that personal hygiene is very important and can remove some of the criticism. You may not be aware that because you ate garlics or onions, that it's not pleasant to be around you. And your spouse may feel awkward in pointing this out to you, but when you are careful with personal hygiene, it will make such comments unnecessary. So it stands to reason that the basic standards of cleanliness, showering, brushing your teeth, numerous other aspects of hygiene are to be maintained at all times. And your spouse should never have caused anyone to find you physically offensive. You have to work that way. We make assumptions we're comfortable with our spouses. We don't take showers. We don't take care of our parents in the house. It's not a healthy thing. A lot of intimacy, physical intimacy, is avoided and pushed off and denied one from the other very often because of that. And if they learn to work with each other, and before they go, they're intimate, they take a shower, they brush their teeth, they put on decent night clothing, that is conducive to more intimacy, physical intimacy, and emotional intimacy. So that's a very, very important concept in and of itself. But the real key to this is to learn how to react in a healthy way towards criticism. Bracha v'atzlacha.